The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Well, good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family. I want to welcome you from your living room or your backyard or wherever you may be watching this morning on our live stream. If you're a guest today, my name is Mark McCall. I'm the lead pastor at Peoria Nazarene Church, and we just are thrilled for you to join us. And I wanted to do something a little different today. As you can tell, I'm not standing in our sanctuary. I'm outside by a beautiful, beautiful pond, by a fire, and on the farm that I grew up on. And I just wanted to bring a message from God, from you, from His Word in John chapter 21. But also, as the weather is changing, and so much other things are changing in our life, as we think about the disruption we've been through of our lives since COVID, and really the past couple months have been unlike any we could have anticipated in 2020. And this time of disruption is difficult. It's stretched all of us, and all of us have been excited to hear the news that the shelter in place is being lifted. We're beginning to begin that process of slowly going back safely and securely. And so as we're preparing for that time, I just wanted to take a moment and talk about a disciple in God's Word who really faced some of the most disrupting circumstances that anybody could imagine. It wasn't just one disciple, but I want to focus on Simon Peter. In John 21, we read about how Jesus encounters Simon after the resurrection of Jesus. Simon's about to go back to fishing, and the Lord Jesus, before He ascends into heaven, comes and He wants to meet with Simon Peter. And I believe that as we look at some of the disruption Simon had and what the Lord's message was to Simon and also to the church, we can find a reminder as we begin to move from our own time of disruption, as we begin to head back to some kind of normalcy, it's important that we don't miss the opportunity to hear from the Lord. So will you follow along with me, John chapter 21. I invite you, we're going to read through a large part of the chapter to follow along. And really the setting here of John 21 is by a body of water and by a fire. And so hear the word of the Lord. It says, after this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And He revealed Himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to Him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered Him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask Him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish, this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these? He said to Him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. This is definitely a favorite passage for many people as we think about the love of Jesus Christ. If you remember the backstory, Peter had failed Christ. He had denied him. Peter was that disciple who was always putting his foot in his mouth, always eager to follow Jesus. But after the failure of his betrayal of Christ and abandoning him, 3 years of following Jesus that came to an end in a violent death, Peter's life had been disrupted. And what Peter did is at the beginning of the story, we found Peter fishing. Jesus comes and says, follow me. And now, after these 3 years and all that Peter has been through, Peter does what most of us do when we face disruption. We go back to what we know. We go back. And so for Peter, that was back with his friends in a boat fishing. But the Lord Jesus had called Peter. And Peter had a mission from God. And God loved Peter enough that before Peter would just go back to what was, God wanted to speak to Peter. So the Lord Jesus came. And really in this beautiful passage, we have a reminder of our mission. In church, I believe that this time of disruption where we've been, all that we're used to doing has had to change. I hope that before we go back, and I am so, so ready to go back. I just heard our worship team practice for the first time on our new sound system, and I was so excited going, I can't wait, let's get back. But let's not miss this opportunity to hear from the Lord. The mission that Jesus reminds Peter of is also the mission of our church. And if I could summarize it, it's really simple. It's this: Jesus wants us to commit to connecting people to his love. That's what you and I are called to do. Far greater than anything we do in life is for our lives to be centered in and motivated by the love of God. Jesus calls us to connect people to his love. For every moment of our life, every season, the greatest thing we do is this. And I just want to share 4 simple truths with you, I believe, from this passage about how we can do that and how we can prepare to do this more effectively. The first is this: genuine mission flows from the love of God in us. Did you catch what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Did you catch the question? Do you love me more than these? Now, Simon was going back to what he knew. He's going back to at the very beginning when Jesus found him, to fishing, his friends, his career, all good things. But Jesus asked for Simon's love, for Simon's commitment to him to be far greater than anything else. You know, God has given you gifts. He's given me gifts. He's given us different skills. We have important jobs that we'll be going back to if we've been working at home eventually. We have tasks, we have responsibilities. Our church will be gathering soon. But let us not forget, everything we do, if it's not controlled by and motivated by God's genuine love in us, then it's nothing. Everything we do must be in love. Before it is a task, before it is a program, before it's a responsibility, it must be personal. And I don't want you to miss how personal this is for Peter. If I could take you back to John 1:42, at the very beginning, Jesus' first call to Peter in the Gospel of John, He says, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas Peter. You see, Peter's name was Simon, but Jesus gave Simon the name Peter. And only here, as we get towards the end, after Peter's failure, Jesus once again doesn't call Peter by the name that he gave Simon. He calls him by Simon. And just as he did when he first called Peter, he calls him Simon, son of John. Do you love me? You see, after everything Peter had been through, following Jesus, the death, the resurrection, the call to be witnesses, after even seeing Jesus alive, Simon was facing disruption and he was going back to what was. But here Jesus once again says, Simon, do you love me? Jesus makes it personal. It's not just the task. It's not just the mission. Simon, do you really love me? And you know, I believe I've been hearing the Lord tell Mark McCall that. Mark, before you go back to all the things you're doing as a pastor, those are all good, important things, but Mark, do you really love me? Do you really have a love in you that's different than the world? And I want to encourage everyone in our church family and everyone listening, do you know the love of God? Is the mission of God personal to you? That's the hope that we have. The second truth is this: God's love in us reaches out to those who do not know Him. So it's all the love of God. It starts there. But the mission of God also means that as we connect people, it involves us reaching out to people who do not know Jesus. That's really clear in this passage. There's two metaphors, two pictures. There's the fish. Remember, Jesus, when He called those disciples, He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So even their livelihood becomes a picture of God's life-giving rescue mission that is rooted in His love. We are to be fishers of men and women. We're to reach out to those who do not have the hope and the love of Jesus and to invite people to come to experience this love. But again, it has to come from God's love in us. How do we do this? I just think if we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we'll be doing well. If people are ever going to come to know the love of God, they have to come to feel that they can belong with us. Jesus sat, He ate with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus surrounded Himself with people who didn't deserve His grace, and He made them feel loved. He invited them. He went to their home. He welcomed them into His life. And if we're going to share the love of God with people that are far from Him, and if we're going to spread the gospel and see genuine lives changed, we too must help people belong with us. Far more than thinking about what we need or we want, may God help us, His genuine love in us, to open our lives, to make somebody feel like they can belong. And then we do our best to live the gospel and share the gospel because we want people to trust in Jesus Christ. You know, it's a whole lot easier to trust somebody that when you're around them, you can belong with them. When somebody loves you and you know that, it's so much easier to trust in them. We want to show Jesus to people so clearly that when they're around us, they can come by God's grace working through the gospel of the message of Jesus' death and resurrection for our sins so that we all can be saved. We want to be so close to people that they too will come to trust in Jesus. And then we want them to commit with us. Because you see, it's not just pastors, it's not church people, it's not a certain kind of people from a background or a demographic that get to be ones who get to be used by God in the kingdom. No, instead, it's all people, ordinary people, fishermen. It's people from every background, men and women, that God intends to use in His kingdom. And we want people to know they can commit with us to connect other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the truths are, genuine mission always flows from the love of God in us. God's love in us reaches out to those who don't know Him. And then the third truth is, God's love in us makes us a caring and a discipling family. You see, we don't just reach out to people for them to have a moment of faith. When God saves somebody and He brings them into our family, it is our role to genuinely love them, to let the love of God that's personal in us reach out to care for them and to disciple them. Did you catch it when Jesus talks to Peter three times? Do you love me? He's making it personal again. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do, Lord. Feed my my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Tend to my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You see, the church is called to fish, to reach out to people far from God, to invite them into our family, to share the gospel that so people can come to trust in Christ and know his love. But we're also called to care for one another. That's a shepherding metaphor. And it's not just for pastors. We are to follow together the chief shepherd, all of us, and to care for one another and to disciple one another. You see, when God's love is in us as a church, it makes us a caring and a discipling family. The final truth is this: it's God's grace gives us the courage we need to fully embrace the mission. You know, I think Peter lacked courage. By this time, he'd already encountered the risen Christ with the rest of the disciples. But Peter had his history of failure. He had all of his mistakes that were just shouting out at him. How could he ever go back? How could Simon Peter be used by God? How could he be used by God to connect people to his love and to lead and disciple the church? Some of you listening today might wonder, you know, this time's going to be over. I'm just going to go back to what I know. That sounds good, Pastor Mark, but I don't think God could really use me. Well, you're not alone. I have that feeling often. But when I'm reminded that it's the love of God in me that makes me able to be used by God, nothing in me, it gives me courage. You see, fear is no more. Simon had fear, but Jesus came to him. Jesus was present with him. And the love of God takes away the fear of other people, the fear of what people may think about us or how we'll be received. No, instead, the love of Jesus gives us courage, his presence with us. In Jesus coming to us, our failures are redeemed. Let me remind you, Simon three times denied the Lord. And here in John's gospel, Jesus intentionally three times asked Simon, "Do you love me?" It's not to scold Simon, but rather it's to let Peter know that God still intends to use broken, fallen Peter. That God in his grace won't let Simon's failure have the final word. Did you also catch that it was by a charcoal fire where the Lord comes and cooks breakfast and feeds Peter? Don't you remember that when Simon denied Jesus, when Peter denied Jesus, he was warming himself by a fire and he was surrounded and people said, "Don't you know this man?" And Peter rejected and said, "No, I don't know him." You see, Jesus comes to Simon's point of failure to let Simon know that he is a redeemer and a restorer, and his grace is great enough for even the failures of Simon Peter. I don't know what failure, I don't know what's going through your mind, but I'm absolutely convinced that in this next season of ministry at Peoria Nazarene Church, God so intends to use our church. This is a new day, and he wants to use you and me in greater ways, not to build a huge church, not just to glorify our name. No, there are men and women all throughout Peoria who do not have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. And you see, God doesn't want to just use Pastor Mark. In fact, I believe he mostly wants to use you. He wants to use every one of us when we will commit to connecting people to his love. That's the mission that we have. You know, our mission doesn't hinge on our creativity. It doesn't hinge on our IQ or our abilities. God will use those things, but it doesn't hinge on the charisma of a pastor, doesn't hinge on our building or anything else. The mission hinges on the presence of the risen Lord Jesus with us and in us. And I tell you what, that makes me get up in the morning confident. Today's the day the Lord's going to use me because he's with me. He's with you. If he was with Peter by a fire after all of his failures, before he would ascend into heaven to encourage Peter and once again call him back to be a fisherman and a shepherd, he's still with the church today, helping us fish, reach out, connect people to God's love and helping us care and disciple for those who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, don't miss this time, this window before we go back. There's been disruption, but I want to ask you, will you commit? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Will you see that Jesus is still alive and he's still connecting people to his love today? And will you commit with me as we go back? Will you commit 100%, not just part of you? Will you commit your whole life to say, as I go back, the most important mission of my life is that through the presence of God's love in Jesus in me is to connect people to God's love. And that means people far from him. I want them to belong. I want to help them know that they're loved. I want to, by my life and living and sharing the gospel, to invite people to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no other name under heaven whereby which we may be saved. And then I want to let them know, hey, God's going to use you just as much, if not far, far more than he's used me. Because God makes trophies out of us and our failures, and he uses us for his glory in ways that we could never, ever imagine. You see, Jesus wants to meet you in this time of disruption before you go back to what was. And it's possible for us, like Simon, to go back and to settle and go back to what was. And that's not all bad. Many things we need to go back to what was. But this is an opportunity. Do you hear Jesus say to you, Mark, put your name there, do you love me more than these? You're about to go back to everything that was, and that's good and right, but do you really love me? Is the gospel really personal to you? Is your whole life full of the joy of my love, centered around the mission, my life-giving divine rescue mission? Do you love me more than these? Church, we have work to do. And I can't wait for us to regather. But let's take even this season as we begin to reach out to our neighbors. Let's lean into the grace of God. And let's lean in such a way that we might be attentive to the Spirit. If God would have us by a campfire, at a backyard barbecue, on our patio, to share the love of Jesus Christ. There's no greater mission. There's no greater joy. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you. You love us so much. This time has not been easy, but you're a God who never wastes a time on us. And even these difficult circumstances, you are at work in our church, our city, and in the world. And I pray that during this time, Lord Jesus, may we hear your voice. May we realize we're not the first ones to face disruption, but may we lean in and listen. We have a mission. We are to be committed to connecting people to your love. And I pray that during this time, in these remaining few weeks, as we get ready to regather, Lord, that we would not miss the opportunity to reach out, to love, to share your love with people far from you. If we feel inadequate, if we feel our failures are too big, remind us that you came to Simon Peter and you intend on using me and all of us. And so I just pray, Father, help us to hear your voice say, do you love me more than these? And may we say, yes, Lord, you know all things. And then when you say, okay, feed my sheep, it's time to fish, it's time to reach out, it's time to be the hands and feet in Jesus, we say, so let it be. May it be so. Amen. Thank you.